Testing, here we go. Thank the Lord for worship. First of all, I just wanted to mention about these t-shirts. When I wear it, I feel Pastor Steve giving me a hug. And does anybody know what that scripture says? Psalms 27:13. I didn't, so I wanted to find out what that said. And one of his favorite Bibles was the Message Bible. And when I read it, I could just hear his voice. And so I wanted to read that to you. Says, I'm sure now I'll see God's goodness in the exuberant earth. Stay with God. Take heart. Don't quit. Wouldn't he be saying that? I'll say it again. Stay with God. Because he spoke positive. Even though all the garbage, all the turmoil going around us everywhere, Pastor Steve always saw a hope. He always saw something good happening on the earth. And just this past week, I heard good news of a woman we know in Sterling that's not going through divorce now. The divorce papers are done. No divorce. And she prayed against it. And so that's an answer to prayer. Then I just heard on the news of a youth group in Rockford of about 50 that were going on a mission trip to another state like Indiana and just saturating going there to work on a lower income level and help the neighborhoods. Then I heard good news just last night of a pastor in Rockford that's going door to door. He looked like a football player, but he's going door to door sharing the gospel with people. And then Saturday morning, I had to come to our shop, which is over here on the East Side neighborhood, and there was tons of people out cleaning up the streets, mowing lawns from, what's that called, the Dream Center over here, that are doing good things, working with people. So all that takes commitment, doesn't it? And I just realized this morning, today, it takes commitment to raise two boys and a year-old Doberman that didn't want us to come to church. She wanted to come with us. So trying to get her in our kitchen, she did not want to go. She knew we were going somewhere. Even trying to use doggy treats. She did not want to go in that kitchen. She knew. She was smart. So that takes commitment. And I love my daughter for being committed to her family, loving my grandboys and the granddog. And we love them. So we treat them like family. You know, we were talking on the way here, we should have a doggy church day. Bring your pet to church, you know? So anyway, what I wanted to talk to you about are the four C's, remember? We already went over one of them. You remember what the first one was? I just said it. Commitment. And it takes commitment. And this is a part of being a member of a church. It's not signing papers. It's being committed. And what did Pastor Steve always teach us? The three T's. Remember the three T's? He mentioned them all the time. It's your talent, your treasure, and your time. Time, talent, and treasure. If you're putting in your time, your talent, and your treasure to something, doesn't that mean you're pretty committed? I put in my time at work. I put in treasure, which is a gift God's given me, abilities to do certain things. And time, what I say, time and the talent, and then treasure. Sometimes I've got to buy something to help the company out. See? So that makes you committed to something. The same within the church. We have a couple that doesn't even go to our church that's been mowing our lawns. Sarah Webb and her boyfriend that's going to be getting married soon. But they've been mowing our lawns faithfully. They don't even go to our church. But just because we have a relationship with them, friendship through the webs, they get excited. They want to do it. So, you know, that's a part of the commitment. So the next C I want to talk about is communication. Communication is a big thing in the church. And that's one thing I've learned about this church and Pastor Steve and our elders. We are communicators, meaning we don't hide things. We're very, very transparent. How many churches tell you what your pastor gets for a salary? Not very many. I've never, until I came to this church. And Pastor Steve was the most open pastor I ever met about everything. So that created that attitude and that character in me, that if I'm more transparent, then I have nothing to fear. I don't have anything to hide. And when we have an issue or somebody has a question, hey, that's what we're here for. So we're going to talk a little bit about communication then. And what's sad today is the lack of communication, and it's been more technology that caused that. Ann and I was in a restaurant last weekend eating out, little date, and across from us sitting was a couple and their daughter. And, you know, I like to observe people. Hardly ever during the whole time, we were probably there for an hour or so, hardly no communication. Mom and dad were on their phones the whole time. Daughter is coloring in a coloring book, you know, drawing. Never said a word to their daughter. I thought, how sad is that? Yeah, we might be communicating more and have the fancy technology, but what about one-on-one? If it wasn't for communication, Ann and I'd be divorced a long time ago. That's kept us together. That's a big, big key for marriage and relationship is communication, no matter what. I'll call her if I'm going to buy a candy bar or, you know, if I'm going to spend. The biggest issues we have were over money. So we've learned to be very, very, very transparent about that. Okay? So that's just the sad side of communication that I've seen. So in the church, and we need to be very open and honest with one another. And so communication is just a definition here. It's the exchanging of information, thoughts, feelings, and opinions. And also, you know, how we communicate just by doing this. It doesn't have to be a word. What if somebody flips you off? Isn't that a sign of communication? Not a good one. But if I did this to you, what does that mean? What does that tell you, Michael? That means good job. Or you can make it. You know what I mean? You're in agreement. If you ever watch America's Got Talent, one thing I noticed about Simon Kyle, is that his name? That's what he does all the time. If he likes it and approves of it, he puts a thumbs up. So what does that tell that person? Wow, I did a good job. Or a pat on the back. You know what I mean? We send so many signals with not just our voices, but even our eye contact or a frown. Somebody look mean at you. What's that make you feel? So we have to be careful how we communicate. And then I thought, well, where did it all break down? Where did communication just go down the tube? And I'm going to show you here. Genesis chapter 3. If we get it up here, we'll read it. 7 through 11. This is where it all started going down with Adam and Eve and God. The relationship broke. It started deteriorating. And the eyes of them both were opened. Remember, when they sinned, they gave in to the wrong fruit. God gave them a choice. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. What happened? They were feeling ashamed. They disobeyed. They didn't listen. They weren't listening to God. Okay? And they heard the voice of Jehovah God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Jehovah God amongst the trees of the garden. So that communication broke down, and what'd they do? They went and hid. Sometimes we do that with people that offend us or hurt us. We don't want to face it. And Jehovah God called unto the man and said unto him, "Where art thou?" Next. And he said, "I heard the voice of the in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" Right there was when it started breaking down. And sin came in, and the flesh started taking over. And then this also is where the blame game started. Don't we like to blame somebody else? So-and-so did it. They said it.
I didn't say that.
So then it just goes on and on and on. And then what happened? So don't hide from God. As a church and people, elders, we have to keep the lines of communication open. So why? Why do we have to keep them open? Well, number one thing, it keeps us accountable and transparent with one another. All right? I'm going to be open with you. You be open with me. If I've hurt you, or said something that I shouldn't have, then tell me. A lot of times we say things we don't realize it. It's just a spontaneous thing. And if you read Proverbs, I used to have a problem with blurting out before I thought. My mouth spoke before I thought it. So when I read the book of Proverbs, man, it was loaded with stop, think. Think before you speak, Bill. Think before you speak. So that helped me tune that down. And everybody's different too. Some people are more like me now. I'm less to speak out. But there's certain people that just blurt it out. Like I've got a boss like that. But I got a scripture that's helped me through all that too. Okay? So then let's look at James 3, chapter 3, verse 2. Because we're all in this together. For in many things we all stumble, don't we? If any stumbleth not in word, the same is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body also. So that's just telling us that sometimes we fall, sometimes we make mistakes, sometimes I say the wrong thing. I might say the wrong words to Ann. I might bring work home with me. I might bring pressure of the job that I've had to deal with certain people and tenants and a boss. I might bring that home, and I still have that on my mind. Okay? So then it hurts. So then let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 25 through 27. All right, it says, since you put away lying, speak the truth, each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. Here's a good one. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. And we've had to learn that in our marriage situation. You never go to bed with a disagreement or an argument, but you talk it out. And the first half of our marriage, we've been married 37 years, I think, now. The first half was I would be the clam up. I would be the one that shuts down. Don't talk. Okay? But the second half, it's weird how it switched. So now I have to be the one to make the initiative. Say, let's talk this out, or I got to get on it right away. You know, don't let it go anymore. So I think that's cool because the Lord used that to teach us both ways, that I've learned to respond and get it right away. But before, it was Ann that was the one. And we can't hold this. We got to talk. And it worked. So, all right? So speak the truth. Oh, yeah. And don't give the devil an opportunity. And guess what he'll do? He'll tear you apart. He'll try to break you down. The enemy will try to tear your family apart. And your relationships with one another. So that's why as a church, no matter what we go through, we have to communicate and talk to one another and talk to your leaders. We're here for you. And sometimes it was so nice you had a pastor, Steve, you could just say, oh, he'll take care of it. He'll take care of the problems that people have, you know, the needs that people, he can go to the hospital, you know, he can go to help marriages. God wants you and I to be that instrument, not just the leaders. He wants you to be a leader. He wants you to rise up and help those people that are in need, because some people you're closer to than I am. So sometimes that close person makes a difference in your life. All right? So there's some people outside of this church that we influence. They don't have to come to this church, because every person is important in God's eyes, no matter what. All right? So look at it as your rewards are in heaven, not on earth. When you realize that, it doesn't matter where people are at, that God cares about every person out here on the street. All right? Okay. Then one last scripture, Proverbs 15:1. This has helped me for so many times in my life. It's unbelievable. A gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. And I've had to use a soft answer hundreds and hundreds of times with people that I've dealt with, and I've seen changes soon as I used a soft answer. And I've been in some scary situations with tenants where I'll just tell you one story where I went in to check on an electrical issue at this house, and I went down to the basement, going to the breaker box, and all of a sudden, it was a single woman, and I'm down there, and all of a sudden, I hear running, screaming up on the floor above me, and she's coming running down into the basement. What's going on? My heart started going 100 miles an hour. I didn't know what was happening. Then all of a sudden, I hear the door. Bam, bam. Somebody coming to the door. And I kind of got the picture. Her boyfriend was coming after her. You know, it could have been an abusive situation. And I'm stuck in the middle of it. Down in the basement, all of a sudden, she comes down. And she's standing, she pulls me in front of her. Yeah. And who am I going to face? The giant. I'm a little guy. So I start praying in tongues, you know, within myself, not knowing what was going to happen. And sure enough, the guy comes stomping in, yelling, "Where are you at?" So I'm down there trying to calm her down. And then he realizes somebody else is there, and I'm down there in front of her. Instead of me getting upset and wanting to yell, I just said, "What's going on?" You know what I mean? Used a soft tone. "I'm just here to do some work. I'm a maintenance man." You know, try to put a smile on my face. And as soon as I spoke softly to him, he kind of just calmed down. And he wasn't, you know, his whole temper and demeanor just changed completely. So then we all walked up together, and he ended up walking out, and it was a calm situation. So that was just very scary. But that's where that helped me in that situation. And then I've had other jobs in Wisconsin that the same thing I had to deal with, scary situation. That scripture has come alive for me. And so it's in that time of need. So just to bring it all together, in the church, we communicate and use all the tools God has given us to get along, to receive one another We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're family. Family has to get together. Family has to be unified. And to be unified, we have to be committed to one another. We give of our time, talent, and treasure to one another individually and to the church. We need your treasure, this church. We just make it financially. Thank God we have a huge building. We have a lot of expenses. We could break them down for you. So we need your time. We need your treasure. Everything. Your prayers. All right? And then our second thing is communicate with one another. Show that we love one another. Words of encouragement. We are an encouraging church. So let's pray and we'll go. So Lord, I just